Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back, and happy Thanksgiving. And I'm not sure if anybody likes whether you want to call it a coincidence or irony or what, but I hope you realize that today's date, November 26th, is the exact same date that the first Thanksgiving was celebrated on, that was declared by President Washington and the first session of Congress. And so, ta-da! It's ironic, because if you look at how far we've drifted away from that Constitution, there's no excuse. And the reason why we've drifted so far away has everything to do with constitutional literacy, or the lack thereof. Unfortunately, nobody understands, or so many people, let me put it this way, because I believe you, my listeners, actually do understand. I believe that as we've gone through this and you start really looking at things like the Electoral College and so forth, you realize that we're not complying with any of the processes in the Constitution. The federal government has completely made up its own processes and is doing everything it can to, you know, further its control over the masses here in America. So what we would ask you to do is start getting involved. And as a matter of fact, start making a difference. We ask that you help us with, you know, the constitutional awareness. One of the things that I would ask you to do, whatever state you live in, what day is the day your state became a state? Now, the first 13 states, those are really easily ratified. Those dates that they ratified the Constitution is technically their birth date as a member of this union. What day was your state become, or what day did your state become a member of the union? And as you recognize what that day is, like Washington State, it was November 11th, which happens to be Veterans Day. And being a champion for the Constitution and having served 20 years in the Marine Corps, being a hardcore veteran, I put aside my veteran celebration and recognized the significance and the importance of Washington State's becoming a part of the Union, becoming a shareholder in that Constitution, because the states have all the authority to take a stand against the federal government. We don't like what's going on. The parents can always stand up, and the states are the parents. Now, I know that we always get a real uptick today. And so we have, and every year we've always done fresh new content. Yesterday, we kind of gave you the historical context of our constitutional first Thanksgiving. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read the proclamation by George Washington, even though we did it yesterday, we did it at the end of the show. We're going to first read that proclamation, and then from there, we're going to kind of take a look at where are we? What the heck are we doing as a constitutional republic and as a people when we start recognizing that our public officials, our government itself is doing things that it has no constitutional standing, no authority to do? What are we going to do about it? This is why I hope that those who kind of return on the holidays and the big days, because they know it's fresh content, I hope you start returning more often to understand Republic Review. We have to understand that the Constitution is a compact, ergo it technically falls under contract law. Madison made this point several times, both in the Federalist Papers as well as the ratification debates. And he wasn't the only one. Many of them, even John Marshall, made these same assertions that how the Constitution is defined is how it is legally bound in, in functioning, in its processes, in its terms and definitions. The ratification debates are the further elucidations of exactly what that document means. There is a reason why John Marshall and Alexander Hamilton did everything they could to marginalize the ratification debates and put them behind them so that they could start bending and twisting and soothsaying this aggrandizing of government to help government take greater roles than it was granted by the states during the ratification debates. Unfortunately, most people didn't understand what the heck was going on, nor was contract law that mature. Madison understood, and Madison made that assertion in 1821. He said it didn't matter what we thought at the Constitutional Convention, what this Constitution meant. The only thing that matters, and that we're all duty-bound to abide by, is how the states understood it at the time of ratification. So, with that, I do want to go through these obligatory. So the first thing we want to actually let you know is this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. We are also the only show on air, and proudfully so. I may not be the greatest entertainer, and I may not have, you know, the most pithy or salient ideas or sound bites that, you know, you can make memes out of. But I will tell you, there's no one out there that is telling you the truth about the Constitution. No one. As a matter of fact, there's nothing in it for them. The more illiterate this nation is, the more money people can make in the grievance industry, whether you're conservative or a liberal. They're all making millions of dollars on the problem and saying they can't do this problem, and they use the battlefield, they use the terms and the grounds that the progressives have given us. In other words, oh, well, we got to go to court. No, we don't go to court. When our Constitution's being broken, Madison and Jefferson, they didn't go to court. They didn't apply for an Article 5 convention. What they called for was the states to stand together as the shareholders of this Constitution, this union, and force the federal government into compliance. That's what Republic Review is. Anyway, so what we want to do is we want to dive into this proclamation. And as I was saying, today is the day, as George Washington clearly called for, and we'll get into that in the third paragraph. But what I want to repeat that I said yesterday is that this was a unanimous call from both houses of Congress. When I say unanimous, there was not one person that dissented in feeling the importance in calling for a day of thanksgiving and service. And so this is why this Thanksgiving, what Washington did and what the framers did in the very call for the first Thanksgiving, to me, set the tone as to how we as a nation should be recognizing Thanksgiving. I want to be very clear here. When we go through this, you're not going to hear any mention of pilgrims, Indians, feasting, you know, a bountiful harvest, nothing of the sort. And I want you to understand what we need to be changing our paradigm, you know. And okay, turkey may be cheap, grab a couple, put it in your freezer, but it is not about turkeys for this nation. It is about liberty, and it is about him who actually bestowed this Constitution upon us. And so we'll dive into this. Let me see, I got 2 minutes, so I'll read the first paragraph or two. Whereas it is the duty, this is George Washington's proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And now this is where he gets into the little, you know, historical fact that I'm pointing out here. And he doesn't elucidate it like I do, that there was not one dissenting vote. whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a government for their safety and happiness. And so from that point, we'll kind of take a break because we're going to be going into a break in about 30 seconds. And I don't want to get into this next paragraph. So we'll kind of stop there. And let me already identify that the first thing he stated was he was declaring that all nations must acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will and be grateful for his benefits. One of the things that really drove this, and there's no doubt in my mind, all of the framers, they went to their graves without ever recanting their sentiments and their witnessing of the divine hand of providence and how it played a role in many facets of their lives. Washington was a huge one. But most importantly, when we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to get into what Thanksgiving really should be for this nation. And I know that there's lots of Christians out there that talk about, you know, turning our focus to him. I am telling you, we need to look at the Constitution as his document. And in so doing, we can start understanding just the blessing it is in our lives. We'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Well, so let's get back to what Washington is saying. And then I'll give you some editorializing as well as a snapshot to where we are today in following this great example that the framers had given us as a nation. There is a reason why we celebrate. I'm going to go into this right now. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, this is the 400th anniversary of the landing and the, you know, the pilgrims, and you know, everybody is downplaying this. I don't make a point out of this, but I happen to be a descendant of two families on the Mayflower. And with that, you know, one would say, oh, well, obviously Thanksgiving must be pretty important. Well, yeah, maybe. However, I am a person that has acknowledged that that is kind of a family tradition, if you look at it that way. The Puritans and those people in that culture kind of said, you know, here's a family tradition of how we were blessed with the bountiful and how we made mistakes of trying to create socialism and we came to our senses and got rid of it. But bottom line, that's a local cultural family tradition. It is not a national tradition. And it's just like all of the other different cultures out there that we recognize. How many people really believe that we need to recognize all different cultures separately? Why can't we just recognize humanity and those fundamental, help me out here, those fundamental core principles that we all cling to, the right to life, the right to property, those things that are inalienable rights, that we were all created equal. In other words, isn't it time we actually progress or evolve to the new level of enlightenment that was bestowed upon this nation with this very Constitution? Now, they chose not to recognize, and you got to remember that a part of the representation in both houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives, had Massachusetts and New England states up there, and they all called for a day of Thanksgiving in recognizing him. And so why is it that we want to cling to? I mean, it's one thing to remember the traditions or, you know, to recount them. But what's more important is to focus, highlight, and actually live by the standard, the new tradition that was set for this nation. As we've evolved, this is the national recognition of Thanksgiving. And this is what we should be turning our hearts and minds towards in giving true thanks. And as I stated yesterday, when a person is in the process of bearing thanks or showing their gratitude, usually 9 times out of 10, you know, most people say thank you. And that's nice. That's a good thing to do. The acknowledgement is that important. People need to be validated in, you know, the things that have happened. But let's look at this in context. Do you think the Lord needs to be validated, the Creator and all of the things he's done? No, I don't think he needs to be validated. I think we need to recognize his importance in our lives and how we need to cling to those things that he has bestowed upon us. We must recognize that this Constitution is far more than just a gift. It has been a blessing to not just those who've lived here, but it has been a blessing to others throughout the world. So let me get back to what Washington was declaring for our first Thanksgiving. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by, and this was done in October, by the way. That's why he said November next. To be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being. So there we go. That's how we give thanks. Not just by saying, but by actually doing and showing our appreciation by serving him. So to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war. For the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. My friends, or is this what we're doing for Thanksgiving? Are we actually recognizing him and his Constitution and what he has given us? I dare not. I actually think that we're missing the boat. I think that when we try to make it about the pilgrims and the feast and the Indians and the socialism and the working together and communal things, I think we're missing the more important narrative, and there is a reason for that. The godless secular progressives do not want you to start looking and recognizing Thanksgiving in this manner. And I want you to understand something. Out of all of the holidays, this was the only holiday that this nation actually recognized. The 4th of July didn't become a national holiday until years later, but giving thanks as a nation on an annual basis became a standard. Now, people tried to put their twists and everything else, but I believe the purity in this message of George Washington's proclamation is the most profound. And I believe this is the standard, the pallbearer. I believe this right here is how we should try to model our nation's Thanksgiving going forward. He goes on and says in the final paragraph, "And also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplication to the great Lord and the ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as we have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October." Now, I'm telling you, this is probably the most powerful and poignant message that I have ever read. And I look at, you know, Lincoln's days of thanks and fast and so forth. Nothing states it more clearly than how he gave us this Constitution. This is the one document that actually pins that acknowledgement that this nation was the benefactor of him who created us, who gave us inalienable rights, and gave us this Constitution, and how it needed to go to all kindreds, tongues, and people, and that we should basically promote those things of prosperity, temporal prosperity, to all. I mean, how Christ-like is this message? in contrast to everything else going on. Now, there were probably interesting messages that were in accordance with the Civil War and other times of need, but this right here is, to me, the bedrock of what American Thanksgiving should be. And I want to put this into context. Understanding the Bolshevik Revolution that we are facing today with the outcome of the stealing of our election and looking at how things are going, don't you believe that looking and taking this perspective for Thanksgiving is far more important? Well, we're going to go into two breaks, and when we come back, I will harangue you some more about how important it is that we start focusing on the Constitution. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Well, so as we see, there's obviously a different twist to American Thanksgiving than the pilgrims, the bountiful harvest, the turkeys, the gluttony of overeating great dishes. Now, over the years, I too have been a recipient of those traditions of dishes and so forth. And I too recognize that because we never really understood the meaning of a national Thanksgiving and how the framers placed it into context so eloquently, I would just challenge you to say, okay, go ahead and have your family traditions and feasts, but I would challenge you to read George Washington's proclamation every year before you have that harvest. I would also challenge that you actually include in your Thanksgiving some level of service, so that you can actually be a representative of Him who has bestowed these liberties upon us. There has never been a more significant and more important time to start doing those things. Because, folks, if you haven't noticed, they have overstepped the boundaries of the Constitution to a point where we are living under abject tyranny. And I'm not using those terms lightly. When I say abject tyranny, look at how is your ability to go to religious worship today? This is an inalienable right as well as a constitutionally protected civil right. Oh, well, our governors have emergency powers. Well, I want you to understand something. This thing called the Constitution that says that the Constitution and laws pursuant to the Constitution are the supreme laws of the land. And in the 14th Amendment, where the 14th Amendment clearly states that no state can make or enforce any law. And as a matter of fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually go to it because I don't want to paraphrase. I want to actually get into the wording. So let me pull it up. We're going to the Constitution of the United States. We're going to the 14th Amendment. And in the 14th Amendment, it says this: no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States. Now, the following clause is the due process clause. But this clause that I just read to you basically laid the gauntlet down that said, okay, you can have emergency power, state, but you cannot use your emergency powers to make or enforce any law that abridges the rights and privileges and immunities of the U.S. citizens, which means that they cannot take away your right to peaceably assemble. They cannot take away your right of religious expression. They cannot take away your right to engage in commerce. And yes, commerce is a fundamental right. And so I'm here to tell you, my friends, that we're now living under unconstitutional tyranny. This is how far we've gone. And so I pose the question, let's shift back to this message. Let us recognize the importance that the Constitution has and the importance in understanding the Constitution. Because clearly, the 14th Amendment trumps any state law until there's an amendment taking out this clause that says that the states can't do it. Until then, the states can't do it. And they're getting away with it. Why and how? Because of illiteracy. Because you and not enough people in your states know that they can't do these things. And ergo, any public servant that is supporting and or calling for, a good patriot, I was on the phone with a good patriot in Michigan yesterday and wanted to know how can they go after these, you know, these politicians at the city councils and mayors and so forth. Any public servant who is supporting the stay home and these you can't go to church, you can't do these things type of laws, these lockdowns, any politician that is doing this is violating their oath of office. So here's the other thing you don't know, that in the 14th Amendment in Section 3, it clearly states, and I'm going to have to read this to you so that you understand the tyranny. You know, how many people, you probably have uttered these words yourself like I have. You know, we elect these guys and they take an oath to support the Constitution and then they go off and do these crazy things. Isn't there a way we can hold them accountable? Yes, it's in the Constitution. First off, Article 6 has every public servant swear and take an oath and affirm that they will support the Constitution. This is a legal process, either taking the oath of swearing and or affirming. You sign that you acknowledge and will fulfill this oath. Therefore, in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, no person shall be a senator or representative. So it's basically identifying nobody can be this public servant, and it goes through the elector of presidents, so the electors, the president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the states or under any state, who having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of the state legislature or as an executive judicial officer or any state to support the Constitution. So in other words, no one, you cannot be a public servant if having you taken an oath and then taking that oath to support the Constitution shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same. And what they're saying here is rebellion or insurrection against the Constitution, which you are obligated to support. I keep on pointing this out, my friends. Public servants are not obligated to support the party. They're not obligated to support the office of the president. They are not obligated to support any office, any public servant. They are obligated to support the Constitution. And therefore, when the Constitution is under attack, and they have a choice. They either support it or they don't support it. And if they don't support it, their act of omission is a transgression. They are failing their oath of office and must be removed. But I will go on and say, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same, or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. In other words, this is a qualifier that can quickly and immediately and constitutionally remove every single public servant in your city, in your county, and in your state offices, as well as federal offices. Now, we're not going to be able to enforce these federal offices until we start enforcing this at the local level. You must get the people to take a stand. The problem is nobody knows this. The problem is nobody understands that this even exists in the Constitution. And I've been reaching out, and this is why we're working with the NLA. This is why we're actually getting organized and starting to educate people. And I think it's paramount that we start reaching out to every grassroots organization and everybody, because I believe we can make this viral. You know, I think this is far more important to make viral than, what was that stupid video, Damnum Style or whatever, Gangnam Style. Everybody's seen these stupid videos, whether it be a puppy or what have you, and is nice and fuzzy and comfortable that they make me feel. They have no relevance to what we are suffering for today. And the one tool that we have that can actually remove this oppression from us. And this is why I keep telling you, my friends, that the Lord, only the Lord knew what we would need in these days. And he gave us everything. He gave us all that we, all we have to do is hold it out and say, you must live by this or suffer the consequences. To be clear, when somebody is removed from office, they do not get due process. When somebody is being impeached, there is no due process. Only in the trial of impeachment is there due process. You've got to understand that this is not impeachment. This is a qualifier. This basically is clarifying that no person shall be a public servant who has violated their oath of office and or supported or given aid and comfort to those who are violating the Constitution, like illegal aliens. When you start understanding the magnitude of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, you will start understanding that we have, forgive me for saying this, the whoop-ass stick. You know, when you open up a can of whoop-ass, and there's your stick, and you can go and do everything you need. It's hard to get away from some of my Marine Corps vernacular, so please forgive me. But I want you to understand truly in context what Section 3 is. It is that whoop-ass stick. It is the thing that can actually beat down every single public servant who has failed to support their oath of office and has actually committed moral perjury. And oh, by the way, Michigan, Senator Howard of Michigan, those were the words he used. No one should be able to be in office if they've committed moral perjury. Now, we got a heartbreak, so we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me be straight with you. If you want to stop the Bolshevik Revolution in its tracks and actually undo all of the vestiges of the deep state and communism that has been established unconstitutionally in this nation, if you want to undo all of the unconstitutional frameworks that have been created from government corporations to the Federal Reserve and everything else, please, you need to start listening to this show. We give you the irrefutable evidence. We prove to you that we don't need to audit the Fed. The Fed is illegitimate, and auditing the Fed would actually legitimize it. Not legally, but it creates a perception that we do accept the Federal Reserve as a legitimate agency. So why would we want to even acknowledge any of this unconstitutional framework at all? You have to understand what Republic Review is. Republic Review is the process of identifying everything that is unconstitutional and forces it to be dismantled. We can do this, but we have to get equally informed. See, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And everybody that is listening to this show is reasonable. The only question is, are we equally informed? Now, there's plenty of people that have more information than me, but it's maybe on different contexts and different subjects and so forth. I would challenge you to listen to this show as we go through the ratification debates in the next couple of months, as we go through the vetoes from Madison, Monroe, and Jackson on the Departments of Transportation, as we go through all of these issues that are blaring, blatant violations of the Constitution. And as we show you what we need to do, because we're going to go through the process of Republic Review at the end of the year. At the beginning of the year, we're going to go through how to set goals. I believe that it's important that people know how to set effective goals. So I share that with everybody. But after that, and we start moving forward, in January, we will begin again to read the ratification debates. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, nobody has ever taken the time to do this. Those people, if you have ever read the Federalist Papers or wished you would have read the Federalist Papers, you will have now recognized when you hear the ratification debates how the Federalist Papers were a waste of your time and how you really need to understand and read these ratification debates. We need everybody, and this is not rocket science, my friends. We need everybody to truly understand the letter of the Constitution and the standing that the ratification debates have in this entire process. And so we can start working together in uniting and actually forcing the general government via the states. We have to get the states to stand up, and we can force the general government into compliance. Here's the important thing you need to know and understand, that regardless of who the president is, he does not have the power to create or discard anything. When we allow a public servant to do things outside of their roles, responsibilities, and powers delegated to them by the Constitution, I mean, the one thing Trump can do, the one thing a true constitutional president can do is go and speak to each of the states and educate them and help them understand how they are the only ones with the authority that can dismantle all the unconstitutional government. We go through all of these arguments. We appreciate the fact that you've tuned in today. We ask that you would continue to help share this message and help other people start pointing to this radio show. It's a daily radio show at this time, Monday through Friday. By doing so, you will find that you will have all of the empirical data, all of the academic information necessary to say, why haven't we been doing this sooner? Why had this not been done sooner? And then you can actually start participating. I believe every American, every patriot is dying of thirst for the elixir that actually solves the problem. And unfortunately, we gravitate towards those real popular entertainers that like to talk about the problem and never offer the solution. And they'll show, oh, well, this guy's doing this, but they never fix the problem. Even if Trump pulls this out, even if we're able to put Biden at bay for the next 4 years, then what? Do not rest on the laurels that we'll have another good president. You must recognize that the Bolshevik Revolution is this close to taking this country, which means in 2024, between now and then, there will be 4 million children pumped into the electorate every year. That's 16 million kids that become voters. Do you believe that the majority of these kids coming out of the school system are going to be swayed towards, you know, conservative Republican ideas, or are they going to be flaming communists demanding that we get rid of guns, demanding that we subjugate ourselves to government because we can only trust government? We can't trust, you know, this independence and liberty in ourselves. That's how bad it is. That's how successful they have moved in taking over by our education system and every facet of our society, from the media, journalism, as well as the governments and the bureaucracies. I mean, this is an evil empire that is firing on all cylinders. But here is the beautiful thing. We have everything we need right here in the Constitution to actually go after them and dismantle them. These aren't just idle words. This is not rhetoric. We have all the power and authority necessary to actually change our course and to save our Constitution and our liberties. I want you to understand the magnitude of what we are facing. As we look at the tyranny that I've already talked about, or I've even talked about the electoral process, you realize, and most people do know about the guarantee clause, that we're guaranteed a Republican form of government. You must realize that our electors are our representatives, that we choose an elector to actually vote for a president and a vice president. We are not supposed to vote for a president-vice president ticket. The electors are supposed to vote independently for a president and a vice president. And that is the process in the Constitution that we are not following. There's no such thing as winner takes all. The state legislatures have the ability to determine the manner of that election, but they cannot determine the outcome. They're to give us an election of electors, not presidential candidates, not primaries, not tickets. There's nowhere in the Constitution that states that the states will be allowed to do that, that we're to vote for electors and that they independently will vote for president. Now, in the old days, what they did was they actually went out and they caucused and they basically campaigned on, I'm going to vote for this person. And that's why you voted for that particular person, because you wanted George Washington to be president, and that's who that person committed to voting for. But if you look and understand our choosing of the president, we're not even following it. And this is why we're in this huge mess. And they want to move us into a democracy where it's strictly a popular vote. If that's the case, then they will take over, because there will never be a conservative constitutional president ever again. It will be it'll be the fulfillment of the Bolshevik Revolution, to where we have a king who's going to dictate to us what he chooses to do. All of this, my friends, is unconstitutional. The one thing that bothers me is the fact that the deep state still exists and is operating in the ranks of Trump himself. You cannot tell me that when you see some of these Secretary of States that say they're backing him and they're actually coming out and writing these scathing letters and wanting to, you know, pull their vote and change their vote. Are you kidding me? If you really start looking, why is it that Trump pardoned Flynn at this point in time? Because he probably realizes, or he hasn't shown any capitulation, but he's going to let it play out, and he's done his job. Because 9 times out of 10, every president we've had has gone into that office with a job to do something very specific to allow the globalist agenda to move forward. Anybody that recognizes the USMCA will realize the damage done under his administration. Some good things have been done. I give him credit for that. But I'm just saying, if you look and you're reading the tea leaves, President Xi of China has actually, you know, congratulated Biden. Everything is pointing in this direction, that the Bolshevik Revolution has been completed. I am here to tell you that regardless of the outcome, that outcome has nothing to do with whether we can save our republic or not. It doesn't depend on Trump. It depends on us and our states to step in and force compliance to the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. And we welcome you back on a regular basis right here. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.